So I'm going to get right on the paper because I got a fair amount that I want to cover tonight. Not very many verses. We're not going to go through very many, but there's things here that aren't here. There's things here in these verses that are elsewhere in the Bible. So I want to bring them in and I want to connect some things. I want you to help you to understand the things that went on in Paul's life and his journeys, especially the journeys over to Corinth. From Ephesus and the second and the third missionary journey, plus an extra trip that he made. So here's what the introduction says. It says, tonight in our study of Acts, we have come to chapter 20. Paul had stayed in Ephesus for 3 years, and as we step into chapter 20, we shall see his departure. So he's going to leave Ephesus, and he's going to go on this third missionary journey. So watch verse 1. We'll just start right here. It says, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. So he's at Ephesus. He's going to leave there. He's going to go to Macedonia. So I want to bring up the Temple of Diana on the screen one more time, because this was one of the seven wonders of the world that existed in Ephesus. And, I told you that was absolutely spectacular. What's your paper here? I'll run down over this. It says there are several points for us to see here. First of all, the uproar referred to here is the riot that took place in chapter 19. This happened as the gospel was proclaimed and those who were true believers had their lives changed and they turned away from idols. And Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the world, which was the Temple of Diana. Many in the city made a living from the silver shrines they made of the temple and of Diana. And when the gospel came in, the people stopped buying the idols. And not only did the people of the city buy them, but also the tourists that came in. They came to see that temple. Okay, so let me go on. This then caused a major stir led by Demetrius and the other craftsmen. The stir had the potential to turn into a deadly situation for the believers, but the town clerk spoke up. Stopped a riot before anyone was harmed. Now, as we come to chapter 20, the uproar has ceased and the situation has calmed down. Another point to see here is that Paul stayed with the believers until the situation calmed down. He did not let them in the middle of a disturbance to face it on their own. Before he left, he wanted to be sure the church was standing firm. There would be more storms that would blow through the city and Paul would not be there. But as for this storm, he would remain and offer encouragement to the believers. So here's the application that I wanted to make in this. Let us learn from Paul the importance of staying by the side of friends when there are storms in their lives. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says this. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. James tells us that true, genuine faith reaches out to those that are in need, those that are going through the difficult times of life, those that are less fortunate. James chapter 2, you know the text, it says this in 14 through 18. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So James here is talking about how true saving faith will produce works. And I've been, just real quick as a side note, I've been thinking on a sermon coming up here in the next, maybe whenever I get back the following weekend, talking about how if somebody is saved, their life has to change. It has to. There is a teaching out there known as free grace, where people say, well, if you believe and you're saved, then you can go ahead and people do whatever they want and they don't produce any fruit, and so, but they still have faith. Well, then if that's the kind of faith they have, then it doesn't change them, because Jesus came to die for our sins and to set us free from our sins. So it is, the Bible teaches that it's absolutely impossible for a believer to live in such a way that they continue in their sin. You can't do it. You just cannot do that, because God won't let you do it. There'll be discipline, there'll be chastisement come in your life. But anyhow, back to what James is writing, I wanted to use that to say that when there are people that have problems as believers, one thing that we should have a desire to do is to step into their lives and help them out. Here it's Paul with these people right here. With the uproar, he waited till the uproar ceased and then he was going to go. But he wouldn't go and let them there on their own. He wasn't going to do that. He was going to stay there till things calmed down and then he would move on. And so I think it's so very important as believers, whether it be into another believer's life, that we step in and we help them when there are storms in their life, or even unbelievers, because what a testimony that is to them whenever we step into their life and we're willing to walk with them through the storms that they have in their lives. Watch verse 1 again. It says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." Back to your paper here. It says, we need to also notice that Paul embraced the saints before he left Ephesus. He had been there for 3 years, so the relationships ran deep. I'm sure that with the embrace came words of comfort. The saints at Ephesus would have been concerned after the riot, so they needed comfort. And this takes my mind to several verses. John chapter 13, 34 and 35 read like this. "A new commandment," Jesus said, that's him speaking, "I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." And I think that's what we're seeing here in Ephesus. This is Paul's love for these people and their love for him, and he embraces them. He embraces them. This is an act of showing the love that they had for one another before they depart. Let me go on. Paul was fulfilling the new commandment. Our God is the God of comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so the consolation also aboundeth by Christ." So our God is the God of all comfort. And one of the ways that he comforts other people is through us. We become Christ to those individuals. And here, Paul is going to comfort them. He's going to embrace them. And I'm sure with that came words of encouragement. I mean, you stop and you think about what just happened, and it could have been disastrous had it not been for God to intervene through the town clerk. And the town clerk spoke up because he was fearful of the police force coming in because of the disturbance that was going on in Ephesus. So he kind of calmed everybody down and he got them to disperse. But had that went, that was a mob. That was mob rule. And when you get a mob like that, they can just, somebody walking in the middle of them, and the next thing you know, then you have people that are killed because of the situation. Back to the top of page 3, it says in 2 Corinthians 1, 4, we see a very important point that while God is the God of all comfort, it is our responsibility as his representatives to comfort each other. That's what it says in verse 4. Let me read it. It's on the screen. "Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God." I'm going to keep reading on your paper. "We are ambassadors for Christ. So when we are there to comfort those who are afraid or those who are discouraged, we are being used by the Lord in their lives. We are actually, as I've said before, we are Christ to them," which is very, very important because as I've said before too, when you and I reach out to unsaved people into their lives, you may be the only Jesus that they ever meet. in their life. And so that's very, very important that we use what God gives to us to turn around and exercise that into their lives. Let me read the next line. I believe it's also important that after, it should say three, not tree, 3 years, the saints at Corinth are still called disciples in this verse. And I just wanted to give you the words of Barclay that I came across on this thought. It says, and I quote, "All his life a Christian should be learning more and more about Jesus. The shut mind is the end of discipleship," unquote. We never stop learning. We are always disciples, always learning, always. And right here in this verse, it says, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples. He's been there 3 years. They're still disciples. They're still learning. And so are we in our lives. Watch 2-5 now. And when he had gone over those parts, okay, so he's leaving for Macedonia in verse 1. When he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, we'll come back to that, he came unto Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail unto Syria. He proposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, I had to think about how to pronounce his name, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Now, there's a lot there, and there's also a lot that we don't see. So watch what I have here. Here in these verses, Luke gives us a very quick overview of Paul's journey to the churches in Macedonia, and then the journey to Greece. This was a very long journey, and Luke gave us no details. Paul's going to give us some details in the second letter to the Corinthians. But what I wanted you to see on the screen here, if I could. So Paul is here in Ephesus, okay? What's said in those verses, really in verse 2, he'd gone over those parts and had given much exhortation, he came to Greece. That verse covers from here, clear up around here, clear down this way, and clear down in here, and probably over to Corinth. That's how much. So you can only imagine what Luke left out. We don't have any idea. We do have a little bit, because we're going to piece some things together here. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians, let me show you something. We'll come back to this map a couple times. So we go through. So 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13, you get a little bit of a glimpse of some of what went on. And I'll explain this as we go a little bit later. It says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was open unto me, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So let me put some things together here. So he leaves Ephesus and he goes up to Troas, and he's troubled because he's not heard from Titus. And the reason he wants to hear from Titus is because he wrote a letter to the Corinthians, which I'll get to, and he wanted to know how they received the letter. Okay, so let me go on. Here's something else he says. 2 Corinthians 7 now, 5-7. Says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. So now he gets into Macedonia. Okay, let me back you up again here for a second, if I can keep all this straight. So now he gets into Macedonia over here, and Titus shows up. Titus comes from Corinth up and catches up with him in Macedonia. So let me, I'm too far ahead. Here we go. Let me go back to this. Verse 6 there. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, because they had received the letter that he wrote very well when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning over their sin your fervent mind toward me so that I rejoice the more. So he gets to Macedonia and he gets the comfort that he desires whenever he gets to Macedonia. Now, let me, I got the map up again and I don't need that. Let's go on. What's your top of page 4? Says there's more to this than we need to understand. Okay, so now watch. Let me try to put some of this together so you can understand it. And I spent the majority of the day getting this worded so that I thought I could explain this clearly. Paul founded the church at Corinth on a second missionary journey. On his third missionary journey, before Paul came to Ephesus, Apollos was sent from Ephesus to Corinth. Paul then learned of the problem in Corinth from the household of Chloe. So I got the map up. So Apollos goes from Ephesus over to Corinth, right straight across the Aegean Sea, over to there. Okay, he goes before Paul ever gets to Ephesus. We read about that in Acts chapter 19. Okay, but then there's word that comes back to Paul, and I don't have the verses. I forgot the verses on for the screen, but they're on your paper, so go with me here, if I could. So 1 Corinthians 16, 17 through 19 says this. No, 1 Corinthians 1, 11, I'm sorry. Says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So Paul's still in Ephesus, and he gets this word about the contentions that are in the church at Corinth. Then he receives more news from Corinth. Watch 1 Corinthians 16, 17 through 19. And I can't believe I didn't get these on the screen. But anyhow, here we go. He said, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches, now watch this, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So he's in Corinth whenever he gets this word. Okay, so now let's go on. Paul then wrote what we know as 1 Corinthians to answer questions from Corinth. So those that came to visit him, Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, when they came with questions from Corinth. So he writes 1 Corinthians to answer questions from Corinth. This letter did not resolve the problems, and because there was sin there, and therefore Paul made a quick journey, which you don't catch right here. He made a quick journey from Ephesus to Corinth, which is known as the painful journey. So he writes this letter, 1 Corinthians, but it does not resolve the problem. So he is in Ephesus, so he makes a quick journey over to Corinth, and then he's going to come back. That journey is known as what many refer to as the painful journey. Watch 2 Corinthians 2:1. It says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. So he went to deal with the matters that were going on in the church. And so it was a visit of heaviness. It was a painful journey. It was one that he did not want to make, but he had to go there to confront the problems that were in the church. Now watch this. It was on this visit that Paul addressed the immorality in the church. Paul then went back to Ephesus and wrote a letter that has been lost. It was a very pointed letter addressing sin. We read about it in 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4. He says, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. So there was a letter, and we don't have that letter. He wrote it after he made that short trip from Ephesus over. He wrote that letter that we don't have a copy of. It was not the inspired word of God. He wrote it. It was a very pointed, a very sharp letter. He wrote that letter to them. Now watch this. It was after the riot that Paul then left Ephesus in hope to meet up with Titus in Troas in anticipation of how that letter was received in Corinth. Paul finally met Titus in Macedonia and received the good news about the church. Paul then wrote 2 Corinthians and sent it off to Corinth from Macedonia. Paul then made his third visit to Corinth, which is included in this third missionary journey. So let me see if I haven't confused you already, let me see if I can sort out what we got. So first missionary journey, he came to Corinth, and the second missionary journey came to Corinth, and the church got started. So he comes back to Jerusalem. You remember, he goes back up to Antioch, and then he starts the third missionary journey. This third missionary journey's mainly, though there's multiple reasons for it, one of the main reasons is to collect the money for the saints that are at Jerusalem, because on after the second missionary journey and he came to Jerusalem, he found out about the poverty of the saints. So he's going to make this loop back through again, and he's intending to sail from here, but it's not going to happen because there's going to be Jews that are going to be laying in wait, and he's going to have to go back up this way. But anyhow, he's making that journey. So on the third missionary journey, he comes to Ephesus. He comes over to Ephesus right here before he came there. Apollos went over. He's in Ephesus. Then word comes back to him about trouble in the church, about trouble in the church. So he writes 1 Corinthians to them. That letter does not resolve the issue. So what he's got to do is he's got to make a trip. So he goes from here and he goes right over to Corinth and he comes right back to Ephesus again. And that was that painful visit that he had to make. And then he wrote that letter that we don't have a copy of, and he sent that letter off with Titus to the church at Corinth. That letter apparently was very sharp and very pointed that they needed to get things worked out in the church. And so then he, after the riot, then he leaves to go on this journey, and he comes up here to Troas hoping to meet up with Titus to get word about how they received the letter. Would Titus never showed up. So whenever Titus doesn't show up, now he's very troubled because he doesn't know what's happened to Titus. He doesn't know how they've handled the letter, what's it going to be like. And so they go from Troas, they cross over, and they come into Macedonia. And once they're in Macedonia, Titus shows up. When Titus shows up, then he gets the report that everything's fine. They received the letter. The problem has been taken care of, and they're looking forward to a visit from you. And so after that, after the meeting, then he writes 2 Corinthians and he sends it down to them. And then he makes the journey down to Corinth himself, down to Greece, as it says here in verse 2. That would be the area of Greece. So if that doesn't confuse you, then I'm not trying anymore to do it. That's about the best I can do to get you confused. But there was a lot there, you know. A lot of times you don't realize that little short journey that he took from Ephesus over, that little short journey whenever he jumped across the Aegean Sea to get things ironed out there, that painful journey, unless you search out the scriptures, you don't get that. And so then you're wondering, how do you piece all this together? Well, that's how you piece it all together. And that made the journey. So let me come back here, if I could, and where it says the on top of page 5, the second paragraph down, the little paragraph. Let me start at the top. It was after the riot that Paul then left Ephesus and hoped to meet up with Titus in Troas in anticipation of how the letter was received in Corinth. Paul finally met Titus in Macedonia and received the good news about the church. Paul then wrote 2 Corinthians and sent it off to Corinth from Macedonia. Paul then made his third visit to Corinth, which is included in this third missionary journey. So that's what we're on right now. So the third missionary journey through Macedonia and then to Greece, where he would go to Corinth, was to collect the love offering for the saints of Jerusalem. That's what I was telling you. It was about collecting that. But there was more to it. Watch verse 2 again. Come on back here. It says, And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. So let me read what I have on your paper. It's important to notice here that Paul made this, as Paul made this journey, he spent much of the time exhorting the believers. He was collecting the finances for the saints at Jerusalem, without a doubt. But he's going to use it also to give exhortation to the believers. This was Paul using the word of God to teach and to make disciples of the believers. That's what he was doing. He was getting them grounded. He knew that there would be trials, that there would be attacks from the enemy, and he knew that they needed to be grounded in the word of God if they were going to be able to stand firm. It's also important to consider how far Paul traveled, facing many dangers, just to see that the money was collected for the saints of Jerusalem. I mean, that's a long way to go. That's a long journey around there. Here's the application. It is good to consider when the last time was that we were burdened for those who were less fortunate. Those who have made a great difference for the Lord are those who were burdened for those who were in need. When they heard, they were burdened. They didn't brush it off. This is what comes to my mind. One of my favorite stories, Nehemiah chapter 1, 1 through 4, reads like this. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chezlu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, that those were the ones that had went back from the captivity, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, watch this, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. It broke Nehemiah when he heard that. It broke him when he heard the condition of what Jerusalem was like. That's what led to what you have in the book of Nehemiah and him going to rebuild the walls. But I just use that and I say, you know, it's good for us once in a while to just step back and examine our lives and say, when's the last time it bothered me to hear about somebody that was less fortunate, somebody that was struggling, somebody that was having a difficult time? Paul was willing to make this journey, this dangerous journey, in order to pick up that money, carry it back to the city of Jerusalem to make sure that the saints got it. And I say dangerous journey because I read for you, and we'll see that here in a moment, again, maybe verse 3, watch it. After he came to Greece, after he came down into the area of Corinth, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. The Jews were waiting. They wanted to get him on a boat. Ryrie says that they wanted to get him on a boat and kill him and then just dump him overboard. Some people believe that they knew that he had the money and that they wanted the money that he had. Either way, because of the proclamation of the gospel from the Apostle Paul, they hated him. The Jews hated him. And either way, they wanted to get rid of him in the middle of all that. So let me get back here to the top of page 6. The Jews laid wait for Paul, and someone has said that they were looking to steal the money he had collected from the churches. This then caused Paul to go back through Macedonia. God turned this plot into something good, and I'm going to show you how that happened. Isaiah 54:17 says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God would spoil this plan of the Jews, and he would take this plan, this plot to kill Paul, and he's going to turn it into something good. Now watch this. Let us notice how God used this for good. Now what you got to do, we got to go through a verse here and look at a place. Okay, so watch it. It says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, Romans 15:19, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, Watch the next paragraph. There's no mention elsewhere of Paul going to Illyricum. Okay, no mention of it. Let me show you where it's at, roughly. The map's not quite big enough, but I'll tell you where it's at. It lays up in here. It lays right up in this area up here. So here's what's believed. Watch this. It is believed that because of the Jews' plot to kill Paul on a third missionary journey, Paul then visited Illyricum because these people then received the gospel. Because he had a backtrack. You see the journey? He left Ephesus, came up around here, say it come down this way, was going to sail out of Corinth, come back across here, eventually get over to Jerusalem, but he doesn't do that. So he's got to go back up this way. And it's believed whenever he come back up that way that he ended up getting up into Illyricum, and there is where he proclaimed the gospel. That is a guess. That's a guess. But we do know this, based on Romans 15:19, that the gospel got in there. He says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem around about, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He's the one that preached it there. You see that? He owns up to that. He's the one that got it there. And it probably happened on this third missionary journey. So God took that situation that was a plot to kill him, whether it was to steal the money or just to eliminate him, took that plot to kill him and turned that around and allowed the gospel to come to a group of individuals that had not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the conclusion and the application. Let us understand that our plans are often changed because God wants us to speak the truth into the life of someone in need. You know, don't miss that part. Don't miss that. The older I get, the more aware I am of that all the time. You know, just so many opportunities, so many. The other night we were sitting at home, and we don't normally get any visitors, especially after dark. So we hear real light on the door, and it's like, who in the world's coming here tonight at this time? So I go out, and it's a window salesman selling windows. So turn the lights on, and him and I stand on the porch, and we talk a little bit, and one thing led to another, and the subject of the Bible come up, and he said, well, my dad's a pastor, and so that opened the door, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. You know, where are you going whenever you die? And he said, well, I'm going to heaven. And I said, well, how do you know that for sure? And he said, because I try hard every day, which he just flung the door wide open to be able to preach the gospel to him right there. So all that said to say, that was unplanned, you know, and I'm not boasting about that. I'm just saying that those opportunities come up. The other Sunday night, going home from Sheets, went in the Sheets. I decided on Sunday night I wanted two hot dogs with chili on. That helps you sleep at night, right? Some guy that worked at Captive Air in Bedford was a talker. I mean a talker. I think he was related to Joe Elsel. But he decided he wanted to talk in Sheets. Then there wasn't anybody around, not very many people at all. And so I thought, well, hey, if he wants to talk and he's willing to listen. So I got to share the gospel with him right there in Sheets, you know, got to speak with that young man, and just opportunities all over the place, completely unexpected, weren't planned at all. And I use that to say that, you know, sometimes our plans get changed, and sometimes we run into people and it's not expected. We need to be, you know, I'll go back to what George Zeller put on that paper that you got tonight. One of the last points he put on there about redeeming the time. You know, we got to redeem the time. We have to. We've got to take those situations when we have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Don't be surprised when your steps get altered. Don't be surprised when you end up going in a different direction than what you thought that you would go. keep your eyes open, keep your head up, look for the opportunities. Proverbs 19, 20 and 21, it says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Okay, so we get all these plans. You're like I am. We all do it. We get all these plans, and we're going to go here. We're going to do this, you know, and we're kind of like the ones that James spoke out against. We let out the fact, if God will. And so we get all these plans, and then the next thing you know, it all changes. Why has it changed? Why am I here? Why am I in this situation? Well, maybe you're there because there's somebody there that doesn't know Christ. Most likely that's the case. You know, it's the people that I talk to on different occasions, it's rare to run into somebody that tells me that they're trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's so rare. You don't find that very often. Not at all. So anyhow, Paul's plans got changed. Maybe to run him back through there to preach the gospel. We don't know. We're just taking a shot at it. But he's the one that preached in that area. And that would have been about the only time that he got up into that area. Unless it was on the second missionary journey. Either way, he got to preach the gospel to those people. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you. Father, as we look at the Apostle Paul, starting into chapter 20, Lord, there's a lot of just plain, really good practical lessons for us about staying with people that are going through the storms of life. Lord, as Paul stayed in Ephesus till the riot was subsided and then embraced the people, would have given them encouragement, given them comfort. Father, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be sensitive to what people are going through. We need to be sensitive. We need to be ready. Father, as I've said here at the end, whenever our steps get altered, that you change our path like you did Paul. Maybe there's something that comes up and we got to go in a different direction or on a different day or whatever it might be. And it's for the reason because there's a plan. You have a plan. You have a purpose. You don't ever waste a move in our lives. And Lord, we need to understand that. Father, help us to be friendly people. Help us to be people that are willing to strike up a conversation and talk with those that don't know Jesus. Lord, there are a lot of people in the world today that have a lot of questions. Father, we that know Christ as Savior, we have the answers. We just have to be willing to talk and to speak the truth into their lives. Take us home safely, Lord, tonight. We pray. Pray again for Carolyn tomorrow, Lord, for surgery, that it goes well. For Ray, for his surgery, Lord, that it all goes well tomorrow for both of them. Take us home safely now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.